We welcome you to our assembly tonight. We have a very special treat in store for us. I'll get to that in a moment. What we'll be doing tonight is reading a letter that has been sent to us from the Apostle Paul. As we gather together, if you're visiting with us, let us catch you up a little bit on what we do. We have just sung, and you'll notice that we have sang, and hopefully what we have done is to sing with our hearts and with our minds. And we sing to encourage one another, to build one another up, to strengthen one another, and to teach one another. And what we're about to do as we read this message together tonight is for us to focus on the reading of this word. Because this is a letter that is from the Apostle Paul. And we all know him and are familiar with him. Even though he's never been to our congregation, he is here in spirit. And he may not have ever known about us, except he knew there would be people like us. And as we open this word together, there's something that we all need to be reminded of that may be harder for us than it was for the Colossians. We will have nothing to look at unless you open your Bible and read the letter along with me, which would have been unusual for the church at Colossae because there was only one copy. And everyone had to listen in order to hear what was said. You may feel free to read along if you like, but if not, listen. Listening is something the Colossians would not have to be reminded of like we do today. Listening takes a great deal of discipline. It not only takes a great deal of discipline for yourself, but it takes discipline on your behalf for those that are around you. Because if you interrupt the ones that are around you with comments or statements that you want to make that maybe even have nothing to do with the reading, or even if you make a comment about the reading, you've interrupted to where they can't hear. And so it's going to be important for us to pay attention. In early colonial churches, they had men who would stand at the back with a rod with a steel ball on one end and a squirrel tail on the other. If you were a lady, you got the squirrel tail in your nose if you were disrupting the services or if you went to sleep. If you were a man, you got the steel ball on the top of your head. The Colossians did not, as far as we know, do that. But it takes discipline on all of our parts to focus. And when we're so accustomed to looking at something with our eyes, it's hard to disengage the eyes and engage the ears and let the attention come directly from the ears. Now to our message. This is a letter from the Apostle Paul. Which means it's a letter from the Holy Spirit. Which means it's a letter from Jesus. Which means it's a letter from God. He's going to use some words that we need to understand so that we don't have to take the time to explain them as we go through. He will use the word philosophy. And he's not talking about philosophy so much in the way we consider it, but yet he is. Philosophy in the mind of Paul is simply the thoughts of men who are considered to be worth listening to. But that's all they are, the thoughts of men. And he's going to use a word that is a phrase, rather, that talks about the elemental principles are the ABCs of the world. And those ABCs of the world are going to be sayings that you hear that sound good and make sense that are so often talked about in the rest of the world and Those things are things that get into your mind and they become the way you think. But they are not from God. They are from men. And they are called the ABCs of the world. An example of one of those in our time and in our culture would be whatever works. And this letter is going to particularly deal with that idea. Because whatever works has replaced what is right, what is true. Because in our culture, we're no longer concerned about what is right and what is true. Now it's whatever works. We call that pragmatism, if you want the technical term for it. And as long ago as this letter was written, it deals with that. It deals with the movement going on in our world, worldwide, where we want to bring the world together into one unit. Under one government. So that we would all be united and we would all be together and we would all have the same benefits. And we would be one united people throughout the world. This book talks about that. And it talks about the fact that there's only one way to unity. And it tells us what it is. If you're visiting with us and you don't know him, you're going to be told who Jesus is. You're going to be told why it's important for us to come to know him. And why it is absolutely essential that we know who he is and we follow him. So if you wish to turn with me, you can. If you wish to just listen, you can. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. And we'll be reading the book of Colossians. It's four chapters according to the way we have it. When it was originally written by Paul, it was only one chapter. Because there were no divisions of chapters and verses. It'll take 15 minutes to read. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae and River Chase, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Those are the holy ones. The faithful. In Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all of God's people. The faith and love, you notice the order. Think about the book that we talked about this morning. The order is faith in Christ Jesus and then love for all people. And then the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. The faith that comes from the gospel and the love that comes from the gospel through faith in Christ. That has come to you in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. All of those blessings come from knowing God and knowing what God has said. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created. So he's the firstborn, not because he's the first thing made. He is not. He is the firstborn because he made everything. And because he made everything, he's over everything. Things in heaven and things on earth. Where's his power? Heaven and earth. Where's his power? All that God has made and created. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. We see him, we see God. And through him, to reconcile the world to himself, or reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in that I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission of God, the commission that God gave to me to present you to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery. And this is it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. He now hints at the lie he's about to deal with. When he says, we work to present everyone fully mature in Christ. There's a lie being told in Colossae. And sometimes there's a lie told here. And we need to understand what the truth is. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What do you need to know besides Christ? When you know Christ, you'll know all that's necessary to be known. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Fine-sounding arguments. The thoughts of men that are hollow and that are really a lie. Which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. There is nothing you need to be brought to fullness in addition to Christ. You were brought to fullness in Christ. It is in Christ and Christ alone that we have all the blessings God would have us to have. This is the lie being told at Colossae. You need Christ, but you need something else. You need Christ, but you need to do something else. And it's Christ. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, which was ruled by the flesh, was cut off, circumcised. It was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God, and who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, when you are not yet separated the desires of your flesh from yourself, when you were not cut off yet from the flesh, you were dead in your sins. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, is canceled, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Upon what is my forgiveness based? The death of Jesus on the cross and my faith in Him. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. All the powers of the devil defeated at the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle. Don't taste that. Don't touch that. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands. They are not from Jesus. They are the commands of human beings and their teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body. But they lack any value in retaining sensual indulgence. They don't do a thing to remove the desires of the flesh and change the way a person lives. What does? He continues. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, the way you think, the principles you live by, what directs you, everything about your mind and your thought process. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things, because you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from the lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only with their eye, when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant of the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greeting, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instruction about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I'll vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read to the church in the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received from the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. There may be some here this evening who are ready to put on Christ, who are ready to receive the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus, redeemed back to God and the forgiveness of sins. There may be some here who need to come home to Christ. If you need to respond to his invitation, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing.